Okay, let's dive into the world of California workers' compensation claims.
Right. It gets complicated fast.
It really does. You get a report, someone's injured, but here's the thing, and this is crucial. Not all injuries are, well, seen the same way by the law.
Exactly. How you classify that claim right at the start, it changes everything. How you investigate, the defenses you might have, it's fundamental.
So our goal here is to cut through that complexity based on our sources and get to what you really need to grasp.
And the sources point to four main types. Each one needs a different playbook, really.
Okay, let's unpack those. First up, the one that seems, the most obvious, specific injury.
Yeah, the classic case. A single event, you can point to a date, a time, someone falls off a ladder, like that David example in the materials, or strains their back lifting one heavy box. Very distinct.
But even then, it's not always simple, is it? The source is stress, speed, and checking things out.
Absolutely. Investigate right away, talk to witnesses, look at the scene. Does the story match up?
Like with David's ladder fall, the quick checks found, well, nobody heard anything. The ladder seemed okay.
And the footage hinted he might have had issues before the supposed fall. Those little inconsistencies, huge red flags.
Plus, you've got that 90-day window, right? To deny liability if the facts don't add up, LC 5402.
Crucial time frame. Now, contrast that with cumulative trauma, or CT. Totally different beast.
Right. No single bang event. This is wear and tear over time.
Exactly. Repetitive stress, maybe exposure. Think carpal tunnel from typing for years or chronic back pain from constant lifting. It just sort of creeps up.
The date of injury gets really vague there, like Sarah in the office ergonomics example. Years of computer work.
And defending those is tough. Proving exactly what caused it, defining that whole period of trauma. The investigation focus shifts completely.
So less about the scene, more about history.
Way more. Job duties, sure, but the real gold is in the deep dive. Prior medical records are vital. And detailed deposition testimony. What else were they doing?
Like Sarah being a competitive knitter. Finding that out, plus old wrist treatment records, that points elsewhere.
It points towards apportionment, which we need to talk about.
We definitely will. But first, psychological claims. Stress, anxiety, they feel so subjective.
They are, and the law knows it. The sources highlight really strict rules here. Big one, predominant cause.
Meaning work has to be the main reason.
More than 50% the cause compared to everything else going on in their life. That's a high bar. LC 3208.3B1.
Wow, okay, over half.
And there's a major defense, the good faith personnel action. If the stress came from something like a legitimate performance review, a demotion, even a layoff done properly, non-discriminatorily,
Then it's likely not compensable.
that's the defense, yeah. Like Michael, stress from a demotion. If the company handled it by the book in good faith, the claim probably fails. LC 3208.3AT. Oh, and they generally need 6 months on the job too. LC 3208.3D.
Got it. Okay, fourth type, occupational disease.
Right. This is illness from long-term exposure. Think asbestos leading to lung disease years down the road.
How's that different from CT? Sounds similar, like long-term exposure.
It's subtle but important. CT is often about physical strain from movement. Occupational disease is usually about exposure to a substance or environment causing an actual illness. The big challenge is often the huge time lag and maybe multiple employers involved over the years.
Okay, so the takeaway is classification drives the whole process. Specific injury means investigate the event. CT means dig into all histron work, medical, personal. Psych needs personnel files and life factors.
You got it. And that digging, especially the medical and personal history, leads directly to the main defense strategy, apportionment.
All right, let's break down apportionment. Why is it such a cornerstone?
It's about figuring out what percentage of someone's permanent disability is due to stuff other than the work injury, pre-existing conditions, the effects of aging, hobbies, genetics, lifestyle choices, anything non-industrial.
And the sources mention SB 899 changed things.
Big time. Now, you can apportion disability to a pre-existing condition, even if it wasn't causing problems before the work injury, if the doctor can medically explain how it's contributing now. That's huge, based on LC 4663 and 4664.
And the doctors making these calls are the QMEs or AMEs, the neutral ones.
Exactly. Qualified medical evaluators or agreed medical evaluators. Their opinion on causation, disability, and especially apportionment is critical.
So feeding them the right info is key.
Absolutely. The most critical piece of strategy here. You, the claims handler or attorney, need to give them everything relevant. prior medical records, deposition transcripts detailing non-work life, maybe surveillance if it exists and is relevant.
Because without that full picture?
Without it, all they see is the work injury and the current complaints. They might attribute everything to the job because they lack the evidence to parse out other causes.
Mm-hmm.
Good info leads to good apportionment findings.
Okay, so bringing it all back to you, the listener, understanding these types and defenses, it's not just legal theory.
Not at all. It's practical claims management. Classify right, investigate smart, know your defenses like the good faith personnel action, and most importantly, build that case for apportionment. It ensures you're responsible only for what's truly work-related, fair outcomes.
It's really about looking past the initial injury report, isn't it? Uncovering the whole story.
Precisely. Especially with CT and psych claims, you have to navigate that subjectivity by gathering the full history, medical, personal, work. That's how you equip the medical evaluator to make a defensible call and avoid paying for disability that isn't your responsibility.
It really makes you think, in any complex situation, how often does the simple surface story hide a much deeper, more tangled reality?
That's a good question to ponder.